Mr. McIndoe, reel 5.
Right. Well, carry on about the detonation.
There they were, everybody in the front line and the communication trenches and all trenches leading up to the firing line was evacuated. Different chaps was told to inform the medical officer in his dugout to take up a position far back as they could go, as they wanted to go. Communication trenches led down to another village a mile and a half away. But the country and the land was so positioned that we were obliged, you couldn't go overland, you had to go by this trench, otherwise you'd be too much exposed by somebody looking down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the lie of the country. And nobody was told as to what time this GA team was going up. Nobody had it to the minute, but sometime this morning. Well, eventually, after everybody was evacuated and we'd been laying out some an hour, I should think, on the wet and damp ground, we'd been laying out as flat as we could get, and eventually this went up. And it was like the bowels of the earth opening. One terrific explosion, and from the after effects, we could see that it was well under the German front line, and probably destroyed some of his mines as well that he was preparing. And he's working parties if it came to that, because you worked through the day and you worked through the night on these mines.
Was the detonation, did it coincide with a British attack?
Oh no.
It didn't, it was just a detonation,
no.
I see. Yeah. Okay, fine. Mm. No, that's good. Mm. Now let's go on and talk about a few of the other sort of jobs you had. And one which you have already told me about is wiring parties, where you were building your own wire defences.
Yeah.
Describe to me how this work was done, by how many men and actually how they worked.
Well, the obstacle was nailed together. It was fastened together during the day.
What obstacle?
Two trestles was made like that with a pole across it, you see. And the rest of it was kept together with wire, or no particular pattern, but just anyhow. The barbed wire was put through it, you see. And that would be taken, you'd have that near the front line, see. That'd be on the fire step there. And then in the dark and during the night, it would be taken onto the top of the parapet. And well, you knew where that was, because I'm going to place that across that lane, as it were. That's how they would be put into position. And then you'd notice again the next night as to whether Jerry had been anywhere around there, as to whether they were cut or not. Because we used to cut his prior to going out on a raid.
Mm. So at night you would take these trestle things up and put them into certain position.
They'd be in position. We put them out in position during the night, yes.
And having put them in position, would you then build extra wire around them?
Oh, yes.
Well, tell
yes.
me about this, because I imagine that there were some problems of handling wire and things like that. How would you add wire to it? What were the methods of building up the wire defense?
Well, we had a protective gloves, a gauntlet glove, see? A pair of wire cutters, a thick pair of plier type pliers that you could twist and and bend round wire, fashion it whichever way you liked. See?
Yes.
Yes, and the barbs on this wire were particularly long and destructive, they were. Really destructive.
And were they put on in any particular pattern?
No, oh no, no. You'd fashion them around just where they held. Yeah, and tie them round onto the post. In fact, if there was a post stationary in the ground that had been there for some time, you would take the end of your wire, instead of cutting it off on that trestle, and take it and put it round there to prevent the trestle from being taken away again.
I see.
Or even moving.
Yes.
Mm.
Were there any differences between the wire fortifications the British put up and the ones the Germans put up?
Not a lot of difference, no. No.
Any at all that you could put your finger on?
No, in some cases we used to wonder how Jerry seemed to have more posts in than we did. And it's not a thing that you, when your trenches are so near to each other, how you could establish a post in there, a driven-in stake, a post, a bit of tree, say, 4 inches in diameter. How you could get that in the ground, apart from tapering and sharpening the end, how you could drive it in there, even with a muffled mallet. You're still going to get that, aren't you? That used to intrigue me.
Did you find out how it was?
No.
I suppose maybe they were screwing ones, so that you didn't have to bang them.
Well...
anyway, at the other side of the coin from building your own wire, and another job which you had to do, was actually cutting the enemy wire.
Yes.
Tell me how you do that, what those kind of raids were like. Can you remember any particular one which you could give me as an example of?
Yes. In clearing a lane, you see, we called them lanes, see. There was no track or anything of that, you see. You had to make your own track, you see. But it was, I could see in the dark. I had very good eyesight in the dark. And you'd know by touch, and something like a blind man acquires, you know, what he lacks here, he fills with his hands and his sense of direction and that. And you could say, well, yes, I know where I am now, yes.
Yes, well, describe one of these wire-cutting expeditions. I know you remember one or two.
Yeah.
Describe what it was like. You know, you'd go out on a wire-cutting party. We'll start from the beginning and tell me what was involved.
Well, you would be assigned to this particular sector, so I want to get through there, so I've got to clear a track for it. See? I can't go too far over there because it's a bloody great crater. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't censor yourself. Swear away.
There's a crater there, and the wall is of this crater is going up like that. See?
Yeah.
So I don't want none of that on me, so I'll get a little farther over here. So, right, I've fashioned this path out. I've fashioned it out. Whether I wear the grass or... Before you move, you feel around for tins. Old tins, soup tins and things like that, that they've got there somehow or another. I shouldn't think the chap in the front line would throw a tin over. But they'd make a noise in the night, so you have to avoid them, and you don't want any of those in your path.
Yes.
In case they make a noise. So before you drag your body along, you feel everything up there, so you can make progress another half a yard, and that's how you went along. Yeah.
Yes.
There's another half a yard up there, haven't I? I eventually slide my body along and along until I get up to the German wire. I get up to the German wire. And if it's not booby-trapped, there's no bell. Some of them have been known to have a rattle or a bit of tin. But you feel round, and it's fairly stable. So you feel your wire, you take it up into the left hand and cut it with the wire cutters with the right. And it could be attached to a stay, it could be on a crate, on a trestle. So if you had a long piece, you would try to dispose of it by, you couldn't exactly throw it, but you dispose of it near the crater where you know that nobody else would go. Mm-hmm. Because it was unsafe to, there'd be a huge hole in the centre, you see. But you'd get rid of it on ground that had been disturbed. Yeah.
So you've got one wire, and then what?
You go on cutting wire. Sorry, I only cut one piece there, didn't I? Oh, yes, you go on cutting wire, and you clear a passage to get yourself there in front. And such times as you come up, to his sandbag, usually have a sandbag along the top of his trench. Yes. Then you knew then that you would know your way there the next day or the next night and get yourself through without any other interruption.
What was the purpose of these wire clearing parties?
Of a forthcoming raid on his dugouts.
Yes.
You see, the object of these raids was that prior to the Somme offensive, in July the 1st, in the next year, when they, well, of course, nobody knew the date, but which they subsequently made, the Somme advance, the powers that be wanted to know.
So after you'd cleared this wire in readiness either for a raid or a reconnaissance trip, can you remember any of these reconnaissance trips that you yourself went on and describe it for me?
Yes, I'm trying to do it better with a pencil. There you are, I've got a bit...
Well, no, we've described trench improving, we've described mining, we've described wiring parties and wire cutting. I think another routine job which you had to do was work in listening posts.
Oh, yes, yes.
How was this work allocated? Was it a regular duty?
Yes, it was round the clock. Mm. In reliefs, two on and two off. One chap with his standing on the, with his head through the top, another fella awake at his feet so as he could be disturbed, and another one chap, a shift of three, another fella could really go to sleep, the third man.
Start off by telling me where the listening posts were in relation to the trenches and what their construction was.
They were constructed underground from our trench. A tunnel would be made, and then eventually the tunnel would be would come up through the ground surface and fortified with wire on the outside. Access was gained by creeping along this tunnel. Until you come to a step, as it were, and you could stand on this step, and you could expose yourself from your head and shoulders, see. And you could also see, and you could hear. I should say they were about 10 yards from the enemy lines. Yes, there was around the clock. Three men used to work this post. Would go on all day, or it'd go on all day, but of course it was only at night that you could afford to expose yourself. Get your head from out of the hole at the top.
Yes, I see.
In the dark, you see.
Good. And the work itself when you were in them would be watching and listening?
Watching and listening all the time.
And then doing, what would you hear and what would you do about it when you heard it?
Well, your colleague at your feet, you'd get yourself down and tell him what you were observing.